And today, we are in week three of our 8-week journey through the book Growing Young. Yeah, here we go. And over the past 2 weeks, Pastor Russell has spoken to us about our church's vision, one part of our church's vision, about raising world-changing Christians and creating a church, creating a community that does that. And last week he talked to us about the first of the 6 core commitments in this book, Growing Young, Unlocking Keychain Leadership. But today I have the privilege of talking to you about the second step, empathizing with today's young people. So if you all don't mind, I'm just going to start us off with a passage of scripture. And this is one that I hope lingers in your hearts, not just as you hear it now, but as you go forth into your weeks. And I'm going to read from Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. If I could sum up what empathy looks like, what it looks like in action, I would use these words. They are simple, but they are so effective. Currently, right now, in our church, there is 6 or 7 living generations. And I mean people aged between certain year dates. So we might have a couple of the GI generation here today. So that's anyone 91 years old or older. And if we might have some silent generation here as well. So people aged from 73 to 90. And certainly there's some baby boomers here. So those are aged from 54 to 72. And then there's Generation X. So those are people aged from 37 to 53. Yeah, holler if you're Generation X. Awesome. And then we have a couple of millennials here today as well. So those are people aged from 22 to 37. And then there's Gen Z. And there's only a handful of Gen Z here. And those are people aged from 21 to 8 years old. And last but not least, there's Generation Alpha. All right, they're the new kids on the block. They are aged from 0 to 8 years old, and most of them will be upstairs in Sunday school at the moment. But guys, that is a 95-year age gap. That's almost a century. And I don't mind being the first to say this, but that is quite a big age gap. It's huge. And that age gap can seem so much bigger when we look deeper into the lives of each of these generations. When we look into what they have been brought up in and what they have been brought up with and what they weren't. This gap can seem so much bigger when we look into the technological advances that have happened over the span of almost a century. The older we get, the bigger this gap becomes. And unfortunately, a negative repercussion of this gap has left some of the older generations feeling that the younger generations, the millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, are completely other, completely alien. I'm not an alien, but some of you might think so. But the Fuller Institute, which are the people that did a lot of the research for the book Growing Young, made a statement in their book in the chapter Empathizing with Young People. And this statement is about the research they'd done around the lies adults believe about young people. And this is it. The typical senior leader or congregation member has brought into the myth that young people are not only a problem, but also a problem they can't relate to or empathize with. And that is a myth. And maybe that myth might be something that some of you might believe out here, and some of you might not. But if you do, I'm here to debunk that myth. I don't know if any of you guys have ever watched Mythbusters, but this is kind of like the sermon preaching type of version for the church, all right? It's not blowing anything up, but your minds might be going. Yeah. All right. So young people today have 3 burning questions fluttering around their heads all the time. These are the questions that keep them up at night, and they influence a lot of their decisions and a lot of their behaviour. The first question, who am I? The second question, where do I fit? Third question, what difference do I make? All these questions ask about identity, belonging, and purpose. But if it wasn't for these three questions that we're always asking, and the fact that it's not actually just us, Gen X, Gen Alpha, that ask these questions, it's everyone all the time. They aren't foreign to many of us. So as a church that's going forward into the growing young mentality, being able to empathise with today's young people is at the core of making that happen. But to empathise with today's young people, the first step is taking the time, putting in the effort to understanding us and our worldview. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about me. Well, not me, but Gen Z, my generation. All right, and I'm just going to give you a bit of surface context around us. So, Princess Diana, people know who she is? Yeah. Mother Teresa, you got to know who she is. They were never alive in the span of Gen Z's lifetime. But what has been alive, what has been there, is Google. Google has been around since Gen Z has started. It was online, available as a search engine in 1997, so 21-year-olds, right? What has also been alive is hybrid cars. I don't own one because I am a student. But they have always been mass-produced. And the announcement of someone being the first woman to do anything has only ever really impressed the parents and the grandparents of Gen Z. And last but not least, teachers have always had to insist that we find resources to use as references from something other than something we found online, like an actual book. Like a book. Like, you have to read the book to find it. But there's ways around that now. So these are just a few things that make Gen Z different. While, yes, you might know some young people, and most of you do, they might be your children, they might be your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, or just some children in the church or community here. To maximise empathy for us, you need to understand not just the surface stuff, but some more of what's going on internally, beneath the surface, as well as external forces that influence our lives and our directions. So if we go back to those three questions, the who am I of Gen Z is asked alongside and through the lens of stress and perpetual faith. These factors are fully alive and rapid and moving in our lives. The stress that usually hits people around about university or just after university is hitting young people in intermediate. That's year 7 to year 8. I couldn't tell you what grade or form that is, but maybe you can work out the math 2 years before high school. And when I was in intermediate, I definitely had a life that was quite stressful. I had teachers expecting a lot from me, and as they should. But I also had my calendar filled up with extracurricular activities. And then from the get-go, as soon as I got into year 7, I was told, high school's coming and it's going to haunt you. And when I got to high school, it got worse. And it only didn't just get worse for me, it got worse for the others around me. I eventually got sick of having too much on after school and decided I'd just end up going to youth group on Wednesdays. And I'm really thankful my mum was kind of cool with that. But today, with the young people I'm still hanging out with, their lives are filled with busy stuff. They're doing stuff all the time. And that's not even mentioning the family pressures, the friendship pressures, the relationship pressures. Some of the research from the churches that are growing young, they find that having children and young kids and young people in their church, helping not just in youth group but in their church, they have a lot less stress. They are able to help lessen the anxiety of everyday life and by replacing it and reminding them of what's important and helping them step away from the chaos in their lives to refocus on God and loving others. However, young people's identity in general isn't as rooted in faith as we might hope. It's personally taken me a long, hard journey to understand that my faith is central to who I am, and everything that comes out of that flows back into it. Religion in a young person's life is only a corner of the quadrant of what's really their identity. Well, that's what we've been told anyway. Goes religion, health, well-being, your family, your makeup, your gender. So you can see how it's quite hard for someone to shift that to their core when that's not what they're told to do. The belonging question, where do I fit, comes in with a lens of desire to be connected on. The lack of unconditional belonging and support from young people in young people's lives is not just becoming a problem, it is becoming an epidemic. There is a massive lack of healthy adult connection in most young people's lives. Studies show that a lot of teenagers view their neighbours, their relatives, their teachers, their coaches, their pastors and their parents as too busy or too self-absorbed to invest in them without an agenda. Young people are hungering for caring adults. And what happens when they can't find that? They find it in other things. Maybe they get trapped in the social media spiral where they're always looking at their Instagram likes to see how much self-worth they have and where they fit in the social scheme of things. And maybe they'll turn to sex. It can become a means to an end and feel connected to somebody, anybody, in a meaningful way. And there's other negative, unhealthy tracks that young people walk down in search of this. There's too many I could list off. Churches that are trying to grow young need to recognize that adult abandonment, it's a real thing, and it's real in young people's lives. The question about purpose, what difference do I make, has seen through jaded realism and cultural pluralism. We are being told two different stories. We can change the world. We can save the world. But at the same time, we're told, treat yourself. Do what makes you happy. You do you. If we're like every other generation, we are both selfish and selfless. We have the choice to be changers or consumers. But sometimes it's really hard for us to see what difference our keep cups make or reusable bags make when our country is pretty clean, until you go somewhere like Thailand, where it's just shocking, the amount of pollution. So if you haven't got a keep cup, get one. Stop using plastic, people, and let's be tidy Kiwis. Secondly, cultural pluralism. Immigration has meant that we are seeing more and more different ethnicities around all the time. In primary school, I had about 30 different ethnicities, which was awesome. Gen Z has grown up in a diverse cultural climate, and it is fantastic. We value cultural diversity. It's in the air, and it's the air that we've always breathed, and it's refreshing. But with cultural diversity comes along cultural pluralism, which means the acceptance of different religions and value systems as equal in our society, which I think is also great because that's how people feel valued. But however, when our young people lack a worldview or faith in Jesus, not grand enough to encompass the contradictory beliefs held by their friends or maybe even their family or people they care about, it can become a drain on the energy, emptying them of their passion to impact the world, whether that be through mission work or an extensive mission, social activism. I'm sure this might have actually been a similar feeling to what some of the Christians growing up in the early church would have felt with all the cultural pluralism going on there as well. There are a couple of things, these are just a couple of things, that linger beneath the surfaces of today's young people. Now, maybe some of you feel like that's a lot of information, and that's okay. Gen Z is very complicated. And maybe some of you have connected with some of what Gen Z is going through on an empathetic level, and that's great. And maybe some of you just don't know where to start putting this empathy in here and changing it into action out there. So I'm going to give us a couple of practical things that I would encourage you all to do. One, rewind your own journey. Rewind your own journey to those three questions that we asked, that you've asked, and you've definitely asked during your time as an adolescent or a young adult. What obstacles did you encounter, and what were you how were you trying to answer them, and how did you answer them? Two, kill the stereotypes. When you hold up what's underneath to what we're really doing, it balances itself out. We're a lot more than we seem. Number three, if you see something you don't understand, or maybe we say something like hashtag, or I'm not going to do that, I just can feel it. ask us why. Ask us why it's odd. Maybe it's a little weird. Maybe it's a little offensive or different. Ask us why it is like that for us, and we can help you understand. Walk through church. Walk through the worship services. Walk through most ministries and see them with a young person's eyes. It'll give you a new perspective. It'll add value. Number five. Learn the name of a young person, or three, if you're feeling like you want some extra homework, and get to know a little bit about them. And if you're up for it, dive deeper with them. Let them know that you want to understand their world. So these are just a few things you can do to empathize with today's young people. But if there's only one thing that you remember, I want it to be this. We don't want your sympathy. We want your empathy. And the best way to do that is to ask why. The why helps you enter a young person's world. You get to see the joy and the weeping, and it lets us know that you want to join us in that space of rejoicing, weeping, or lament. Sympathy weeps and walks away. Empathy sees and it comes to stay. Let us pray. Magnificent God, thank you for the church before me. Thank you for the willingness and the open hearts of these people. I ask that as we go into our weeks, we will be able to reflect on this Growing Young series, and Lord, you will inspire our hearts. And you will inspire our minds, Lord. And you remind us all of the empathy that you first gave us and that you have for each and every one of us. And that you rejoice when we rejoice and you weep when we weep. So bless us with the courage to pass that on to the younger generations. In Jesus' name, amen.